Greetings, Crusaders. Gigabyte here with a quick message. We had a few technical issues with the episode this week. So far, we're unsure whether Okta or I were lagging out on the recording, but I tried to fix it in post, and we hope it doesn't impact your enjoyment of the show. Thanks for listening, guys.
Attention, Crusaders. You are now listening to Vox Arcana, a production of Holosuite Media. By the will of the immortal emperor of mankind, it has been decreed that the following broadcast of Vox Arcana may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed on this Voxcast are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of this station, website, or any affiliated partner. Audience discretion is advised.
Attention on the battle fleet. This is Captain Ramaskus of the Imperial Star Cruiser Vox Arcona. Please listen carefully to the following announcement.
In accordance with the Codex Astartes, we hope that you have a productive trip to Arcona and arrive with the will to deliver the Emperor's judgment. Thank you.
Greetings, Crusaders. Welcome to Vox Arcona Mission 33, recording on Monday, April 25th, 2016, and coming to you from the Battlefleet Charon and Segmentum Obscurus. I am Gigabyte, and I'm pleased to share the fleet's Vox Arena with Okta. How are you doing today, man?
Hey there, Gig. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. You know, real life, work, all getting me down. But on the plus side, Warhammer. So, you know, it kind of evens out. How about you?
Yeah, I know you feel. Work, life, parenting. it's all there. But like you say, Warhammer.
Oh no, that's not for me, that's for sure. Have you done any Warhammer stuff? I kept it nice and vague and general there. Anything Warhammer?
I've not really, to be honest. I've not been in game much at all really this week. I've actually been playing some of my other MMOs that I haven't touched for a while, most notably Lord of the Rings Online, which are having their 8th anniversary. I mean, over 8 years.
Oh,
now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
that's that bad boy's still going. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Good for them. Is there many people playing?
Oh yeah. Still loads of people on there. I couldn't believe it, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, there's only one ring to destroy. After that, you're done.
Precisely. they've just released a new update, which is the Battle of Pelennor Fields, which is quite an interesting, interesting event.
So they're still actively updating it as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Wow. Okay. Good for them.
It's not too bad at all.
Yeah.
And yourself, have you been up to much in terms of the 40,000?
What have I been up to? Yeah, a little bit. I've been up to a little bit. Not so much, again, in Eternal Crusade, because I've been a bit busy there, because I just bought, in Steam's 40% off sale, Rainbow Six Siege. Kind of loving that. Kind of wish they would put a 40k skin on it, so that I could make a podcast about it, to be honest. Have you played that?
No, I haven't, but I do know what it looks like, and that would be look very awesome with a 40k skin.
Yes, it would. Well, I mean, I'd watched a bunch of Let's Plays and videos of it, but actually, you get at least one friend in there with you, and really good fun, really good game. Yeah, I've been doing that, and then also I bought a box of Minotaur and Tempestus Scions, because I just loved the models.
Nice.
I never picked them up when they were released 2 years ago now, but they look nice, and I wanted to paint them, and I had an idea that I'd buy like 4 boxes, and I'd paint them all as like blue squad, red squad, I don't know, I just felt like I had to do that, so yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Also, I may have bought something that we're going to talk about later in the show notes, which might be a rather large and expensive box set. which is totally my bad. I didn't want to, but I was in the store, and it was such a bargain.
Like, and you're like, must have.
I don't regret it, but at the same time I do. You know, it's that kind of feeling. Oh, and then obviously we didn't record last weekend. However, there was the Space Marine 30th anniversary thing where I was convinced, again by myself, to pick up the limited edition model.
Yes, yes. No, a work colleague of mine picked that up, as well as the Space Marine book, which actually turned out to be very interesting book. It was kind of like a redo of all the original artwork and rules and all this sort of stuff. It's really awesome.
That's not the Angels of Death one, is it? That's the other one.
No, I can't remember what they called it now. Something beginning with A. I can't remember what it was now. It was like authoritarian.
No. Neither can I.
It's very good.
It's interestingly, when they released that, obviously everybody knew that the miniature was going to be limited edition. However, that book, released at the same time, wasn't released as limited edition, but you can no longer buy it.
That's right.
So, Games Workshop, don't get me wrong, they've made great strides, you know, leaps and bounds in getting in with the community. However, you know, just a little bit more, a little bit more.
The, like the cake, the Space Marine is a lie.
Oh, dear. Gigabyte, really? Oh. What is it? 24? I don't even know when Portal 2 was released. Oh, well. Anyway. Yeah. Feels like it was yesterday.
Indeed, indeed. Cool, so, yes, Eternal Crusade, Into the Warp 60. We're into Age of Retirement now for Into the Warp.
Well, they did even joke in that one that, you know when they start, they flash up the card, the flash card of what they're going to talk about in that. And it's always the same.
Yeah.
It's always just those three bullet points.
That's right.
I don't know if it is just a running joke now. But they do seem to take it seriously.
I think there is some sort of inside joke to that now, because they always say, you know, well, we've got the same thing for you, you know.
Yeah. I feel like they're still putting it up now because they feel they should, which is fair enough, I suppose.
So yes, Into the Warp 60, more Eldar, lots more Eldar. We have we had the Falcon Grav tank shown off, which was very interesting. I was very impressed with the movement. You know, it's moving pretty much as you would expect an anti-grav vehicle to move. It's going to move pretty much exactly the same as a player would, in the sense that it can strafe from side to side. You know, stuff like that. It was very, 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 very interesting. No gun cam on the Falcon Grav tank though, mainly because the pulse lasers are underneath, and that would be a little bit disorientating for those people who are manning those guns. Were you able to catch that at all?
Yeah, I did. So did they say, is the gun cam just going to be on top?
I think it's just going to be
as if the gun turret was on top.
Yeah, normal thing, just normal, as if you were driving, basically, same sort of idea.
Yeah, it's fine, that makes sense. I think the only thing I had wanted, and maybe my sense of scale is off, but I thought the Falcon Grav tank was meant to be bigger than the Rhino.
I think it is supposed to be slightly bigger. Because you do have the Wave Serpent as well.
Yeah.
It's basically meant to be their transport, I think, isn't it, the Wave Serpent?
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, maybe that's just me, and they did say that they were going to raise it off the floor a little bit more, which will obviously make it look a bit bigger. But I'm trying to think now, is the model itself wider than a Rhino? It is, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Like, it's a bigger model.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
I think people
anyway, that was my only complaint.
Yeah, I think people get confused with the Falcon because over the years it's kind of taken a place as almost like the Rhino of the Eldar, but people forget about the Wave Serpent being the troop transport, and the Falcon Grav Tank is basically supposed to be like not quite so much a Predator, but a Rhino with a gun, you know.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Maybe like a Razorback.
Yeah, that makes sense. Although, as of course we know, all Space Marines chassis basically just a Rhino chassis, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much. I did think the spawn to tank option was pretty nice, which I think is going to be very handy. So you can spawn, you're going to be able to spawn directly into a tank from dead, basically. I think that's going to be very useful.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, you know, if it was a completely open world, then yeah, I'd like the immersion of having to run to the vehicle spawn point into the tank. You know, the immersion's not there. Let me spawn into a tank.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that being very, very useful, especially, you know, especially if you're on something like the fortress map, which, as I said before, is so bloody huge. If you're not in a tank, you're gonna have to run the whole bloody map down. And like you say, once the open world hits, that's gonna be very useful indeed.
Yeah, but assuming that they haven't changed plans yet, the open world, and I'm really just saying this out loud to make sure I'm correct, but the open world is, you're running between effectively different arenas, and then those arenas are instanced and blocked off from other people, right?
Yeah, we think so.
Okay.
Yes, and when Brent was switching between builds, there was a quick sneaky peek at the Dark Reaper, what that was going to look like. It was kind of hard to see, but I did quite like the look of the Shuriken Cannon. It looks like that might be quite nasty was it a Shuriken Cannon? Yeah, I think it was a Shuriken Cannon, actually. Because I know the Dark Reapers have the missile launcher thing, but it didn't look like a missile launcher, it looked like a Shuriken Cannon. Were you able to catch that? Would you catch that?
Would that be the Reaper launcher?
Yes, yeah.
I assume it's called that, because we know how Games Workshop name stuff. I did. However, yeah, I saw it flash up. I was like, oh, I've got another hour of this. Do I really want to skip back and pause and go frame by frame? So I let the mystery live. I let the mystery live on. I didn't pause it. I was like, yeah, you know.
Fair enough. And they did actually mention about the Swooping Hawk grenade packs. Brent mentioned that you're going to be able to drop them from your legs. That's where they're supposed to be positioned, is on the legs of the Swooping Hawk. You're going to be able to drop them as you fly by. That's like a bombing run sort of thing. Or you're going to be able to pick one off and throw it as you normally would. And obviously have the arc show up on your screen. Which I think would be quite nice, very handy. Very interesting way of dealing with a standard mechanic in game, especially for something like a Swooping Hawk, which is supposed to be always flying around.
Yeah, I mean, I like that we're getting a bit more details, and I am very curious about how they actually end up finally implementing all of the Eldar, to be honest, including the Swooping Hawks.
Definitely.
Because this grenade pack chucking stuff could be really, I think that's going to be a really fine balance. It could be totally OP or completely ineffective. But well, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, no, it's such an iconic part of the Swooping Hawks that it does require some very careful consideration as to how it will work in game. They have also been working on the quad guns in game. They said they've improved them to be more accurate and effective, which, to be honest, is a much needed improvement. I've lost count the amount of times where I've been stationed in a quad gun And it doesn't seem like or feel like that you're doing anything, really. You might take out the odd one person here or there, but they've been very, very hit and miss, shall we say. So I'm quite happy with this.
To be honest, I think I've only ever jumped into a quad gun once, and from that, you know, hardcore testing, I can say that 100% of the time I've been in a quad gun, I felt that I didn't really on the battlefield. So this is a good change.
Totally, and they've said that they would really love feedback on it as well. So if you know, if people are in game and you're kind of playing around with a quad gun, take note of how well you're doing and stuff like that, because the team wants to know and how, and you know, how they can make that better, and if the changes they did make are, you know, any good. And that's Into the Warp 60. Obviously, you guys, if you want to look a little bit, or hear a little bit more in depth as to what the guys were chatting about, go and check it out on YouTube. And that was number 60. That was pretty much last week, or the week we kind of missed. And on this week, we had number 61.
I would prefer to say that we tactically disengaged from it. But yeah, sure.
We did.
Sure, missed.
We did. We tactically disengaged. But there was even more Eldar this week. So those people who were complaining that there was no Eldar stream, you've had, what, 3-4 now?
Yeah, I was going to say, they're starting to go heavy on the Eldar, so, which is good, of course. So I can play the rest of it.
I just hope they have as many Into the Warp live streams for the Orcs when they eventually come out with them.
Yes, looking forward to the Orcs, but also the Nids. I really want that. I'm waiting.
Yes, that'll be very interesting. So yes, even more Eldar. They finally unveiled some of the textures for the Avenger, the Dragon, and the Scorpion. Looking very nice, I have to admit. I think my initial complaint about the Eldar colours, I think, has been alleviated by the introduction of the textures. It's kind of muted them slightly, so they're not quite as loud and in your face as I thought they would be. So they are looking very nice. It's looking very awesome.
Yeah, I think that's a good word. They are slightly muted. They're still there, but they've basically just been added a patina of dirt to them. And yeah, I think it's improved.
Totally. And I did catch when Brent was there kind of showing off the fire dragon, showing off how the melt were going to fire. I did catch Katie in the background with the striking scorpion, jumping back and forth, doing chainsaws, spikes and stuff, and doing some martial arts kicks, which was pretty awesome. I thought that was quite amazing watching that.
Yes, I like that they're adding that. I mean, that's what Eldar should do, you know. I hope they take it even further, to be honest. I mean, obviously they have said that they're still using some of the basic Space Marine animations. Should be completely different.
Totally. And I'm hoping that the martial arts kick that we saw the Scorpion doing there, I think that might work out to be the defensive bash of some description, which would be very awesome. They have mentioned about the fire prism. There's been a bit of an issue with the fire prism. Apparently it's being replaced by the Falcon Grav tank, as the team are having problems with the gun, most notably the way it's facing. And they said that basically the fire prism was supposed to be the analog to the Predator, and they're having problems, like I say, with the facing of the gun and stuff like this, and actually it doesn't quite feel like it's a Predator analog, so instead they're going to have the Falcon in its place, and obviously the Falcon will have its pulse lasers attached underneath. So that should be quite interesting. I do wonder if that means they're going to bring in the Wave Serpent a little bit earlier, as the Rhino variant, or the Rhino analog, shall we say. That'd be quite interesting to see what they do there.
So, did they actually say they're removing the Fire Prism from the game completely?
No, they're just working on it in the background, and they'll bring it in later on.
Oh, okay. Now, the Fire Prism is meant to be the analogue of the Predator?
Mm-hmm.
And okay. So then the wave serpent is the analog of the rhino, right?
Yes, yeah.
So yeah. Okay, it's late. I'm struggling. Good. Carry on. Yeah.
That's fine. It'd be very interesting to see if they actually manage to pull the fire prism off, because I've always liked the idea of the fire prism. It's got this massive, huge, like, crystal gun on the top. I've always liked the idea of that. I'd like to see how they kind of deal with that in game. Other stuff they've been working on, the cover system is being improved. Most notably, high cover. So when you're in cover in a standing position behind something, you're going to be able to shoot further around the corner, which looks very awesome and can be very handy.
Yes, yeah, I like this. As you say, it looks good.
Oh, totally.
Can't argue with the animations there. I don't know if it's tactically sound, but they're Space Marines, you know, who cares?
This is a very good point. But also, apparently, you're going to be able to melee from around the corner as well, which is going to be very handy indeed. On grenade toss around the corner as well, which is right.
Yeah, that's odd. Again, I like it. The idea that you can basically clothesline someone, that's awesome.
I'm sure this will come in handy in game. Numerous times I found myself in cover trying to position my camera so I can actually see down the corridor and things like this. So I think this is going to be very useful.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. Definitely.
The Space Wolves are on the way. Yay! But they're not going to have the no helmets option just yet. Because apparently they're having issues with the faces.
Oh, not those heretics.
Yes, clearly the best kept for last.
Yeah, the best traitor legion kept for last, sure.
Hey. You watch yourself, boy.
I'm just saying. You know? Curse of the Wolf, and
hey, no one gets more loyal than the Space Wolves.
Pretty chaosy, if you ask me.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you just
call us lapdogs all you like, but we'll rip your nuts out as just soon as look at you.
The Emperor calls you to heal, and what do you do? Ooh, kinky. Carry on.
So yes, interesting to note, actually, the team. Well, Nathan said they aren't focusing on retention of players, as most MMOs do, as much as they're looking at reacquisition. So where most MMOs will look at kind of keeping you from iteration of the game to iteration of the game, from expansion to expansion, the behaviour team are mainly looking at reacquisition. So I think they understand the fact that not everyone's going to stay with this game for the entirety of its life cycle. People are going to go off and play other games, all that sort of stuff. So what they want to do is kind of entice you back to the game every now and again, you know, come back and play with us.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea, to be honest. Because obviously, retention of players, the way you do that is by building an end game, right? You have your leveling, and then you have your end game, which is... They're basically two different games, right?
Basically.
Well, to be honest, I don't know if this game has an end game.
No.
I hadn't really thought of that before I started this argument.
No, I mean, end
game. But obviously, that's why they're going for reacquisition, because there is no end game. You level your character, and then they will add more content that is of the same level that anyone can do, whether you're beginning or old, or. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, to have an end game. Really, you have to focus on PvE more than PvP. Like something like World of Warcraft, to their end game is all about, you know, raids and, you know, stuff like this. There is a little bit of PvP end game in the sense you've got like battle arenas and, or battlegrounds, should I say. But primarily, the end game is focused around raids. And obviously, with a game like this, there isn't so much of an end game like that. And the whole point of the game is to fight over this planet and eventually, you know, the other planets and the system and all this sort of stuff. So yeah, you can't really say there is such an end, such a thing as an end game in a game like this. It's just the same thing that you've always been doing, and the team are just going to introduce new ways to do that, and, you know, things like this. It'll be very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of two things there. One, I hope the game doesn't get stale, because it doesn't matter how good your gameplay is, if there's no change, if there's no iteration, it will stalify.
Stagnate.
Again, it's late, I can't think of the word. That's the one. However, equally, I kind of really do hope, because I'm a PvE man myself, that they do kind of go all in on the PvE. I know they won't. I know they basically said they won't. But I'm going to ignore the facts and just wish list. There you go. PvE all the way.
Yeah, I think if something's worth doing, you might as well go balls deep. Cool, so that's pretty much what we noticed in the Into the Warps. Again, X61 is now out on YouTube, so go and have a watch, guys. See what you think, and you know, let us know if we missed something there, or if you want to point something out that we had glossed over. Let us know. Moving on to the 40k universe. In the miniatures side, the main site, we have a new... I think this is a new game. It looks like a new game. It's Imperial Knights Renegade. Basically, giant war machines duking it out. The Imperial Knights, you know, everyone knows what an Imperial Knight is, I'm guessing. But it does remind me of another model game.
Well, hold on now. Hold on. Why don't you break down what an Imperial Knight is? Because potentially people have, you know, drifted away from 40k and have found Eternal Crusade. But Imperial Knights are relatively, well, new and old.
But, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, basically an Imperial Knight is a bipedal weapon platform, basically. It's essentially a smaller version of a Titan. They're in between, kind of like tanks and Titans, essentially. If anyone's played the game Freeblade, that's based around Knights, Imperial Knights. And the idea with this Renegade game is that you have basically Knights facing each other. I think they do have several crew members on a Knight, don't they? If I remember rightly.
No, it's just the one.
Is it just the one guy? It's just the one guy, isn't it? Yes, no.
It is, yeah.
Levels, yeah.
Yeah, and basically, all Imperial Knights, Renegade, putting it down when I say all it is, but it's your standard 40k rules, so you get your loadout of weapons, and, you know, they have strength and range, etc., and AP. However, it's just a much more detailed where you can shoot and hit and take damage on your enemy. So you can blow an arm off or a leg or etc.
Yes, now I remember from the one of the Horus Heresy novels about the Mechanicum goes into the character of a knight pilot, and he's basically kind of like locked into the machine. You can feel everything the machine can feel and all this sort of stuff. It's quite a fascinating read, actually. And yeah, and the other model game that was kind of
which book was
of,
that?
Oh, I can't remember what it was called. It was one of the first ones about the Mechanicum. It might have just been called Mechanicum, actually. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Was it one of the Horus Heresy books?
Yeah, it was. Horus Heresy.
Okay. I think it was actually Mechanicum that I stopped reading on, which was like the ninth book in the series or something like that.
Yes, it was, yeah. Mechanicum. Yes, it was the Mechanicum that I was.
That's a bit of a shame. Well,
yeah, it's a good read. It's not too bad. As I say, it kind of gives you an insight into the Mechanicum that I don't think it's ever been looked into. The insight of a knight pilot is very interesting indeed.
Certainly, that's something right up my alley right now. Because, as mentioned, I may possibly have purchased Imperial Knights Renegade and have two knights to deal with, and I'm super into them right now.
It's definitely worth having a read, if only to get an insight into, you know, how these pilots deal with, you know, the machine and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. The other thing to note about Imperial Knights Renegade, the box, is just how much of a saving it is. You effectively get a free knight. Yeah. I mean, that's just, that's a bargain. You can't argue with it. Buy one, get one free, you know?
Totally. And they've got some nice, they've got some other nice stuff coming out for the Imperial Knights thing as well. I mean, the Knights Renegade thing is £120. You got two sets for £240. And then the Sector Imperialis collection, which is £580. Which looks pretty awesome, actually. It comes with, looks like it comes with like a battlefield kind of setup.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Yeah, I don't have that kind of money lying around. Or, to be honest, even if I bought that, it would just sit in a box. I'd never touch it.
Yes, no, the other model game that this kind of reminded me of was War Machine by Privateer Press, because they've always had the idea of like giant machines fighting each other.
Well, a little tidbit of information. It's widely believed that the Imperial Knights were released because Privateer Press, War Machine and Horse Guys, released all of the Gargantuans and the Colossals, which of course are big models, really cool to look at, really fun. And the Games Workshop needed something big. Yeah, guys are called Gargantuans, the War Machine guys are called Colossals.
So Forge World, they have an interesting thing they're working on at the moment, which is basically task forces, Space Force task forces, which is essentially the Petralic Calf box set with upgrade kits for the Space Force Legion, which would be very nice. I think to see that with all the other legions would be very interesting indeed. I think that they could do some really good upgrade kits for them. Did you catch that?
Yeah, they've been doing this with every new legion that they've released, which is a pretty good idea. You know, they clearly know what Betrayal at Kalth is being bought for, and it's just a great way to get into the Horus Heresy game if you want it. Betrayal at Kalth, and you've got most of the Marines you need. If you buy two, you never need any more. And then, yeah, you just need the shoulder pads, and you've got a lore-ready army. Mm. It's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I didn't actually realise that they'd done this with the other legions. I'm just having a look at it now, actually, and yeah, they've got pretty much every other legion there ready to go. It's an amazing little kit, I have to admit. Nice.
Well, Forge World does tend to know what they're doing. Yeah.
Definitely. So yeah, get your hands on those guys if you want a decent Heresy era army to work with.
Or, of course, a good army. Why buy Space Wolves?
Hey, we've spoken about this.
No. I know that lots of people love Space Wolves, and to be honest, I kind of like them as well. Yeah, I mean, so you know, they are effectively... I'll give you that, yeah.
So yes, moving on to Black Library. Submissions for the writing contest that we mentioned comes to an end this Friday, the 29th. I did enter an idea and I got rejected pretty much straight away, mainly because I'm not a very experienced writer, probably. So they probably didn't. They looked at that and probably went.
Yeah, I had much the same. What's sharing? What your idea?
it was an Inquisition centered story. Based on a character that I've obviously come up with there, and it was basically him and his retinue being dragged into the warp and being marooned, well, dragged into the Eye of Terror and being marooned on a.
I like it. To be honest, world. That. Carry on, sorry.
Yes, no, that's it. Basically, being marooned on a demon world.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I mean, to be honest, that sounds like perfect Black Library bait. Yeah.
No, apparently not. Apparently it wasn't up to snuff.
Well, and, you know, I can confirm absolutely nothing about this, but, you know, Black Library, a little bit shifty. If you don't know one of them,
yeah,
that's what I've heard.
It's true.
That's what I've heard.
It's true. It isn't what you know, it's who you know, isn't it, eh?
Yeah, that's definitely the reason we weren't chosen. I'm sure of it.
Must be. It can't have been the quality of the writing. Can't have been.
Well, to be fair, maybe we were too good. You know?
Maybe. Maybe overqualified.
They have standards to uphold. And that does mean they can't be too good, because it'll make everybody else look bad.
That's very true. That's a very good point. And I believe there was something else regarding Black Library that you wanted to cover?
Yeah, just a very brief note. Black Library has announced that they're teaming up with Hachette, which, for anybody that pays any attention to the author world, Hachette is one of the big five publishing houses. And so that's actually potentially very big news. All they've said is that they are teaming up with Hachette for a Space Marines series of novels. So that's very generic. We don't know what it means. We don't know anything else about it. However, Hachette is, being one of the big five, potentially very powerful. We don't know what it means, but it would probably mean, as a general rule, Space Marines, Warhammer in general, becoming a little bit more widely accepted in some way. Don't know how, because Black Library obviously already has a little bit of pull itself, thinking into certain chains and bookstores, but Hachette could open more doors.
So, I mean, most people are probably aware of, like, Penguin Books and stuff like this. They're quite well known for being, like, primarily a kids book publisher. Are Hachette known for anything in particular? You know, is there a reason why Black Library would have partnered up with them?
Yeah, to answer your question purely, okay, so, well, I'll keep this very brief. The way a publishing house works is you have one overarching company, in this case Hachette, and it will have multiple what are called imprints, and these imprints basically all specify a specific genre. So for example, Hachette might have an imprint called, I don't know, Origin, who knows, and then, to be honest, I should know, but I'm making this up, and then Origin will only publish fantasy books. And so if anybody had heard of, or you know, had read one of these books, the imprint called Banana Peel, I don't know, and they only publish mysteries. You know, that's the way it works. Okay. So every teaming up with Hachette means very little, because it's just a big company that has a lot of money.
Okay,
effectively.
Fair enough. Interesting though. Should be quite interesting to see what happens with that particular partnership.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously they're doing it for a reason. I would have thought the Black Library already has the resources to get where it wants to be, but clearly they think otherwise.
Indeed. Well, in the world of video games, anyone who's played Free Blade on the iOS platform may already be aware that the Android version has been released. Free Blade is a Imperial Knight game, as I mentioned earlier, and you basically take the role of an Imperial Knight pilot running around destroying pretty much everything. and it's pretty awesome, well worth a play. If you've got an Android device, get it downloaded, give it a play. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I had never played it before, as I'm an Android man. I picked it up, and yeah, it's good fun. It's good fun. However, really stop yourself from buying anything. Just grind it out. You don't need to buy.
Yeah, pretty much all of these free-to-play games that have got microtransactions, you can pretty much gain everything in-game just with a bit of a grind. You don't have to spend money on it. In other news, Total Biscuit, of YouTube fame, has finally weighed in on the GW games that are coming out. Battlefleet Gothic Armada, which, by the way, has been released. He's weighed in on his thoughts on the beta. And he's weighed in on Eisenhorn Xenos recently as well. So well worth a watch. Did you catch those on YouTube?
Yeah, I caught them both. Let's start with Eisenhorn Xenos, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
So, effectively, for anyone that doesn't know, Eisenhorn Xenos is a mobile game. It looks pretty nice for a mobile game.
Yeah, it really does.
That ended up being released on PC first. And as a PC... But that's about all I can say.
No, totally. It does look awesome. Awesome game. And it pretty much follows... It pretty much follows the plot of the Eisenhorn books. So if you've read the trilogy, the Eisenhorn trilogy books, won't have to speak properly, Xenos, Malleus, and Hereticus, you'll know pretty much what the game is all about. But well worth playing that game nonetheless. It looks fantastic. The voice acting sounds really good, especially on Eisenhorn himself. And I think this is well worth a play. From what we saw at GDC, I think last year or the year before, it looks really nice, indeed.
You know, Total Biscuit said that he felt that Eisenhorn was the best voiced, and was exactly how he expected Gregor Eisenhorn to sound.
Mm.
But yeah,
it's again.
I thought he was needlessly picky there.
It's definitely worth a listen to Total Biscuit's views on that. He is quite a massive fan of 40K, and he is a huge advocate for gamers now, as well as people like Angry Joe and people like that. Total Biscuit is one of those people that's well worth kind of taking 5 minutes out of your day to listen to. He's got some good ideas when it comes to gaming. And he's also obviously a curator on Steam, so you know, obviously the industry thinks that he knows what he's talking about as well. So
No, he's got a good channel. I don't always agree with everything he says, but I do still take in his views along with Angry Joe. If people out there have never heard of Total Biscuit, that's very odd, but you should check him out on YouTube.
Totally. Cool. So we are going to skip the Imperial data slate for this week. Two reasons for that, really. There's a lot of information to cover in the topic we want to do. And we're having a few technical issues with this episode this week, so we're going to skip that for now.
AKA, I'm lagging. No, I don't know what's up.
Just a little bit. So yes, we're going to skip that for now. Dedications to the faithful. I have neglected to check recently, but I believe we are still in the place of not having enough reviews to show an average on iTunes.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, well, this is the way that bloody iTunes works. It's a pain in the arse, to say the least. So yes, guys, if you have a free moment in your day, please head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. 5 stars would be very, very helpful for us. we will be quite appreciative of that.
Tell me, Gig, are there any other ways for them to leave any feedback, questions, anything else for us?
You'll hear them in the outro, we are on Facebook, at Vox Arcona. Just search for Vox Arcona on Facebook. On Twitter, which is at Vox Arcona. And obviously we have our email, which I've mentioned in previous episodes, voxarcona@gmail.com. So if you don't feel comfortable leaving a review on iTunes but still want to give us feedback on the episodes, feel free to contact us in one of those three ways. And like I say, you will hear those in the outro if you didn't catch them just now. In light of the Imperial data slate being postponed, the thought for the day may give you an insight into what we are planning. So, Hawkter, would you like to take that?
I'd love to, if my, you know, internet will handle it. Let's give it a try, shall we?
Hopefully.
Right. As I looked into its dead black eyes, I saw the terrible sentience it had in place of a soul. Behind that was the steel will of its leader. Further still, I could feel its primogenitor coldly assessing me from the void. And looking back from the deepest recesses of the alien's mind, I perceived what I can only describe as an immortal hunger. We can slay the Tyranids on our worlds, blast their fleets from the space, grind their armies to torn and ruined fragments. But their hunger? That is beyond our ability to slay. Chief Librarian Varro Tigurius.
Indeed. I have been Gigabyte. He has been Opta. We are Vox Arcona. And we shall see you next time.
Good night.
The Adeptus Terra thanks you for tuning into tonight's broadcast of Vox Arcona, a production of Holosuite Media. Be sure to check our website, iTunes, or Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered Vox casts and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Vox Arcona. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to voxarcona@gmail.com. Return next week for yet another communique from the Vox Arcona.